Praise God. That's a good song to introduce us into the subject for tonight. Sustaining true freedom. You can only sustain what you've already got. Amen? And what we have is true freedom. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. You can also get the scriptures for this session ready. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Hallelujah. Why has He set us free? For freedom. He wants us to be living in freedom. From what? From sin, from Satan, from self, from denominationalism, from traditionalism, from condemnation, from fear, from guilt, from superficiality, from unreality, from super spirituality, and from everything that is opposed to His purposes. Just in case some of you are worried, I didn't say from denominations, but from denominationalism. Mind you, God doesn't have any denominations, He's only got one church, but many of us are stuck in denominations. But it's when we start defending denominationalism we're in trouble, aren't we? That's the end of freedom. Because we start defending something that's man-made, not God-made. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now, many of you, all of you, no doubt, in some ways have been liberated this week by the Word of God. The Lord has spoken to you in different ways, different circumstances, and He's set you free. And you've been enjoying a liberty of the Spirit, a liberty in the Word, liberty in all kinds of ways. Well, God's word to you is, don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go back. God is forever leading us onward. Who knows that God never leads you back? And I'm not going to go anywhere where God doesn't lead me. Are you? He always leads us on. He wouldn't be a very good shepherd if He led us back, because the pasture behind us is already eaten out. So He's the good shepherd that leads us on to fresh pastures, to still waters, where we can be nurtured by Him. Hallelujah. And so we are a people of pilgrimage, ever onward. We're not those who are called to wander around in the wilderness in circles for 40 years, but to go on and enter into the land of promise. There's a sermon there, but I won't preach it now. Praise God. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Verse 5. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Not churchianity, not even Christianity, but faith. Not religion, not law, not works, but faith working through love. It's all there, isn't it? Verse 9. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. A little bit of negativity will work its way right the way through your spiritual life. So stand firm then. Don't let yourself be burdened again by even a little bit of negativity. Verse 10, I am confident in the Lord that you would take no other view. Hallelujah. Verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free. There's one danger in freedom, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, the flesh. You can't use it to indulge the sinful nature, you've already learned that today. Rather, serve one another in love. Amen? The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law of the flesh, of sin and death. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hallelujah. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. It's all there, isn't it, really? Good, so I can go and have a rest for the rest of the evening. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 4. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are confident in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Just say, the Lord has made me competent. As a minister of the new covenant. Praise God. Isn't that encouraging? Yes. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Who knows that if you've received the Holy Spirit, you have been ordained? Yes. Even you ladies. Ah. I don't know why some people argue about what the Lord's already done. Oh, praise God. We're all ministers, aren't we? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's look back at chapter 2, the end of chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Wow, it's good to have that in your Bible, isn't it? We were seeing about that this morning. Always leads us in triumphal procession. He wouldn't know how to lead us in a procession of failure and defeat, would He? For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. This is almost like having your marching orders, isn't it, at the end of a conference like this. Chapter 4. Verse 6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts.
Hallelujah.
To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Who knows where to concentrate on the treasure, not the jar of clay? You can bet your boots that most of the people that... Well, you're not allowed to bet your boots, are you? But most of the people that come to you for help are concentrating on the jar of clay and not the treasure. Isn't that right? But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we are alive, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." That refers to what God did. He believed, and He spoke creation into being. Jesus believed, and He spoke healing into being. Resurrection into being with Lazarus and others. Yes? With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Careful, careful, careful. We are to speak into being, just as God speaks into being. Our words are to be creative, powerful. And if they come from God, they will be. It doesn't matter whose mouth He uses. When we bring forth that word that comes from God, it will be powerful to bring into being that which we speak. Isn't this exciting?
Yes.
Years ago, the Lord said to me, "If you dare to say it, I will do it." And very often that's all that's required. Somebody who dares to say what God is laying on his or her heart to say. You see, God performs His works through speaking. Spoke the whole of creation into being. That's what Genesis 1 is all about. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And God has put His Spirit into us in order that we may speak His Word and speak into being what the Creator Spirit is telling us to say. Speaking healing and deliverance and faith and encouragement into being. That's why it is to God, dreadful when people criticize, judge, condemn, and use their mouths negatively. They curse instead of bless. They pull down and destroy instead of build up. So we're not going to use our mouths like that, are we? Are we? No. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Oh, hallelujah. Never allow ourselves to be discouraged, do we? Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How can you fix your things on what are unseen, on the eternal things, if you're looking back? No, we're looking forward. We're straining for that which lies ahead. To lay hold of all for which Christ took hold of us. Amen? Oh, it's wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. Because that means there's always more, there's always more, there's always more for us to lay hold of. God's given it all, it's all our inheritance. Faith reaches up to God and takes hold of that which is our inheritance. We're not trying to make God say things He doesn't want to say or do things He doesn't want to do. He's said it all, He's done it all, He's given it all. Faith takes hold of it and says, it's mine. Because God is able to make all grace abound to me, so that in all things at all times, having all that I need, I will abound in every good work. Amen. That's also from 2 Corinthians. When he's just talked about sowing. Giving bountifully. Yes, and if we give bountifully, God is ready to give bountifully to us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's take our sheets here. And this is like a little bit of summary of what the Lord's been teaching us during this time. We all know now the truth sets us free, don't we? If we didn't know it before we started. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now it doesn't take too much to understand that, does it? In other words, if the Spirit is active anywhere, there's freedom. You know, some ministers try to tell me, well, all our worship is in the Spirit. Well, all I can say is it must be a funny kind of Spirit, because I see a funny kind of freedom in some places. Hello? Hello. I mean, freedom is freedom. Not just freedom to dance and all that, but you can see when a congregation is free in the Spirit, can't you? And if they're free in the Spirit, it won't only be in the service. There'll be a sense of the Spirit being liberated among the people in love, in power, in joy. In revelation, in wisdom, in understanding. Because He is the Spirit of wisdom. He is the Spirit of understanding, isn't He? Where the Spirit is, therefore, you see all these marks of the Spirit. All these evidences of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? I mean, I'm not making it up. It's what the good book says. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, you know that one by heart now, don't you? If the Son sets you free, and free indeed means both free indeed and free indeed. Indeed free and free indeed. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. There's no doubt that God intends us to live in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. So we are led in triumph. Good just to look at these scriptures again. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Well, we've just looked at it, but it's worth looking at it again, so we'll read it again. Shall we read it together? But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Let's say me this time. But thanks be to God who always leads me in triumphal procession in Christ. Makes you feel better every time you say it, doesn't it? You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Hallelujah. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that has overcome the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, we've had someone read that also this evening. Reinforces what God's saying to us. Amen. Amen. Our destiny is to overcome. Hello? Yes. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. I like that. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a good page, this. I mean, it's... It's worth having that, isn't it? By the sink when you're doing the washing up. Boy, but better still to have it in your heart. You give me your shield of victory. That's only Old Testament. If you can have victory like that in the Old Testament, look what you can have in the New. And your right hand sustains me. You understood why I said that, don't you? Because the promises of the new are even better than the promises of the old, right? You give me your shield of victory and your right hand sustains me. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight. And I destroyed my foes. I like that, don't you? Don't turn over. Come on, we haven't finished. We haven't finished with that one. Oh boy, that's got some mileage in it. I mean, just look what it said there. You arm me with strength for battle, because we're in a battle, aren't we?
Yes.
You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You see, when we exercise the authority, the authority that he gives us, God makes our enemies bow at our feet. All those demons, all those ungodly things, bow. Oh, we don't have to be afraid of them. Bow in the name of Jesus. I like it. This is good. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight. Get lost. Hey, you know, we spend so much of our times as Christians being nice. It's lovely to have someone we don't have to be nice to. You can take all your anger, frustration, and venom out on the demons. Amen. You don't have to be nice to them. They're nasty bits of work and they serve a nasty master. So you just boot them out. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. Somebody asked a question about demons hopping from one person to another. Well, you better do a better destroying job so that they don't. Hello? Oh, ratapakara situ barunama. Where's the next page? Guarding your boundaries, isn't it? We're in a fight, so we need weapons. God's given us the weapons. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Who knows that if you're going to sustain true freedom, you've got to keep fighting. The enemy's never going to leave the battlefield. While you keep fighting, then you keep having the victory. If you stop fighting, he'll gain advantage over you. Are you still awake?
Yes.
Good, right. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You getting the idea that we're supposed to be demolishing things? Destroying the works of the enemy? Aggressive? Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You know the scripture says, don't you let anything negative get into your heart. Why? Because your heart is the wellspring of life. You just guard your heart. Guard your heart. If you're going to sustain true freedom, you guard your heart against all negativity. Where's the negativity going to come from? Well, we've seen, haven't we, the devil? Guard ourselves against all that stuff. You know, him whispering into our minds all those negative things. From the flesh, guard ourselves against all the negativity of the flesh. We might have lived in negativity for years, but now we guard ourselves, we stand against it, we rebuke every negative thought. As soon as it comes, we will not accept it. You've got to do it. It's no use just knowing that's what you ought to do. You've got to do it, right? We guard ourselves against the negativity of the world. Why? Because the world cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The Scriptures cannot understand spiritual things. The Scriptures very clear about that. So we guard ourselves against worldliness. We will not be affected by the corruption of this world, as Paul calls it. And we guard ourselves against all the negative things that others say to us. Even Christians. Especially Christians. We guard ourselves against false judgment, criticism, condemnation. Refuse to accept it. Don't listen to those negative things that people say to you. You know, if you don't be like one of those Christians, as soon as something negative, you crawl into a corner and say, oh, is it true? Is it true? You know who you are in Christ. Somebody comes against you with something that you know is not part of your inheritance in Christ, and you reject that absolutely. Oh, time and time again, you know, when I've been in a meeting and the Lord has moved in power and in strength, many people have been blessed, people have come to the Lord, been filled with the Spirit, healed and all that. The devil will send someone at the end of the meeting to say something totally negative. I remember one occasion always sticks out in my mind. We'd had a mighty move of God one evening, and this character came forward at the end and said, I don't think you're a man of God because you shouted. I said, well, in that case, Jesus wasn't a man of God either, because he shouted. Lazarus, come forth! He shouted, didn't he? So he wasn't a man of God either by that guy's estimation. But you see, crazy things like that. But sometimes, right, that's obviously crazy. But sometimes it's much more subtle than that, isn't it? Anything just to destroy the fact that you're rejoicing in the Lord and in what he's done. Anything to undermine faith. Anything to niggle. It's those little niggling things, you know, and you go and get into bed and you just want to go to sleep, and that little niggling thing is gnawing away there if you receive it. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid you'll find that the most upsetting things that will be done to you will be done by Christians. I wish it wasn't true, but I'm afraid it is true. The things that will upset you most. And all your resources of mercy, grace, love, and forgiveness will be called upon. But don't receive the negative thing into your heart. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. You don't resist the devil by being polite to him. Devil, would you please mind leaving me? I mean, that's not resisting the devil. When you resist him, you kick him out. And just notice, if he flees from you, he's the one that's afraid of you. Praise the Lord. It's like the mouse in your kitchen, you know, he's actually more afraid of you than you are of him. That's why you jump up on a chair. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. Who knows that the meek are strong? Oh, praise God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now listen, let's have one or two bits about this armor stuff. I come across some Christians, because of the way they've been taught, they're paranoid about getting out of bed in the morning. They're saying, oh, I mustn't get out of bed until I put all my armor on. And I say to them, well, you shouldn't have taken it off when you went to bed. I don't know what you're doing in bed without your armor on, because it's when you're in bed that the devil often has a go at you. Isn't it? I mean, you can take your shirt off if you like, but not your armor. Praise God. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Who knows that the devil's got a plan for your life? And God's got a plan for your life. God's plan is positive, the devil's plan is negative. Every time you get into negativity, you're serving the devil's plan. Every time you're walking positively, you're part of God's positive plan for you. It's best not to go from one plan to the other. Stick just with one plan for your life. Amen? Otherwise, you end up being double-minded. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, Just remember that when you look around you in the church. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But we have the authority to overcome in the name of Jesus. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. We're not giving way. Amen? Amen. Stand firm then with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Everything he fires at you. See, all those negative thoughts and accusations and condemnations, you take the shield of faith and they all bounce off. Isn't it wonderful? See? Look, it says, all the flaming darts of the evil one. See, if you've got your shield of faith up, none of them can get through. Isn't it good? The one that comes from behind too, remember that one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the
faith.
It's all here, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, we haven't been talking rhubarb all week, have we? I mean, it's been the word of truth. So we're in the fight of faith. Amen? Fight the good fight. Oh, it's good to have a good old fight, isn't it? Yeah, I thought you were really eager. Yes. Oh, you know what? One of the things that upsets people is if they often, you know, as if there's one of these demonic manifestations, especially in worship. I always remember Trevor Deering years ago saying every time it was a demonic manifestation, he rubbed his hands with glee and said, "Hallelujah, here's another one for Jesus." Oh, what's happening now? Oh, here's another victory. Eh? There can't be any doubt as to the outcome if we're moving in the authority that God has given us. Oh, glory. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And all that gracious giving. If we endure, we will also reign with him. I like the word of God. Very encouraging, isn't it? We're reigning in life now and we have the promise that we will reign with him for eternity. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Well, that's all you need to hear, really, at the end of this conference, isn't it? Just continue in what you've learned. And then you'll be able to be like Paul, who said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Now, the important thing there is that he could say, "I have finished the race." There are so many who begin in faith and give up somewhere along the way. But we who are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Hey, doesn't it do you good just reading this stuff? I just read scriptures and you know, I mean, I gather some of you want to keep these and say, can we reproduce? Well, there's no copyright as far as I'm concerned on the Word of God. You can. The other material I've explained you can't reproduce because that will get me into all kinds of difficulties with publishers when the stuff is published. But you do what you like with the scriptures. Oh, we're not those who shrink back, are we? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race that we've already run. No. The race that is marked out for us. The race that is ahead of us. Are you enjoying this? I'm having a wonderful time up here. I mean, God's ministering to me tonight. He's been ministering to you all week. He's ministering to me now. Stand firm then. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Oh, praise God. So we finish with a bit of sanctification. Is that all right? Becoming a bit more like the Lord. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Oh, that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Yes, who have been called according to His purpose. Doesn't matter what the situation, God's at work there, in you, with you, for you. Bringing good for you in the situation. Doesn't mean that the situation is for good. Doesn't mean that God, that everything that happens to us is God's put. Who knows that everything that happens in our lives is not God's will for us? Very important that, because you get some crazy thinking. But, you know, oh, well, it must have been the will of God. That's not Christianity. That's Islamic fatalism. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. No, I mean, it can't be true, because God's will for your life is that you would never sin. Mm-hmm. But I take it that sometimes you sin. Is that a true assumption? Oh, but less now than you used to. Good, praise the Lord. Progress. Well, you know, I think sometimes we become so preoccupied with the... It's like... you know, if there was a black spot just there, I mean, your eye would keep being drawn to the black spot, wouldn't it? Whereas, you know, 99.9% of the screen would be white. You'd say, oh, pity about that black spot. Eh? And we're always conscious, you know, of the thing that God is dealing with. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yeah. That black spot in my life, Lord. But, you know, you do need to remember, well, praise God for what you've already done. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And, you know, sometimes it isn't the Holy Spirit that's wanting you to concentrate on the black spot. It's the other fella. He says, that black spot disqualifies you. You can't expect to receive anything from God because of the black spot. Uh-huh. He's a liar, isn't he? I mean, one of the things he often does to me is says, you failed. And I say to him, I know. But God's forgiven me, which is more than can be said for you. So get lost. Uh-huh. He's only jealous of the grace of God that abounds to you, because no grace will abound to him. Hallelujah. He will keep you strong to the end. He will keep you strong to the end. He will keep you strong. Come on, let's all say it. He will keep you strong to the end. That's right. Is he faithful? So that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a relief. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. You see, we know this stuff, don't we? You've read these things before, haven't you? It's just a question of putting them all together and believing it. So, well, that's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. So, just leave those for a minute. We'll come back to the others in a minute. So, therefore, you rejoice in the Lord always. And you give thanks in all circumstances, because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You can see why Paul says it now, can't you? While he's sitting in prison. Why? Because his eyes aren't on his circumstances, but his eyes are on. Now you see that some people say, oh, look, all this kind of stuff, it's unreal. No, it's not. This is reality. It's everything else that's unreal. But we have to do it. Not know it. It's no use knowing that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because you can be in the biggest mess, muddle and confusion that you can think of, and God's likely to leave you in it until you begin to rejoice in Him. While you resent the circumstances, He won't lift a finger. As soon as you start to rejoice, not necessarily in the circumstances, but in Him, that He is greater than the circumstances, and He is able to change the circumstances, He is able to deliver you from those circumstances, then things will begin to change. But while your attitude is negative, He leaves you in the negativity. Why? Because it is His will for you in Christ Jesus, to give thanks in all circumstances. It's not a bit of, that's not super spirituality, that's not unreality, that's the Word of God. That is the truth that sets you free. Isn't that what the good book says? Oh, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't it good? Can you see that He's in control? He will do it. Huh? He will sanctify us through and through. He will keep us faithful. Oh, wonderful, isn't it? Oh, we'll make mistakes and mess it up sometimes. But He'll bring us back. Because we're His. We might be like the prodigal son that goes off and gets into who knows what. And even if we end up feeding pigs, when we're feeding the pigs, we say, I better go home. Where I really belong. Because it's not much fun eating the pig's will. And when we go back, there's Father running down the road with his arms wide open, his great big bear hug. The robe and the ring and the shoes and the fatted calf and the dance and the celebration. And there's always the brother. Isn't there? Always the one who won't come and join the celebration. I'm too busy doing the Lord's work. Looking down your nose at you because you've made a mistake and you got it wrong. Praise God, we forgive the brother. Sanctify them by the truth. Remember these words we looked at earlier this week that Jesus prayed, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Oh yes, why did Jesus give of himself? So that we might be given wholly over to the Lord for his purposes. Isn't that good? Now the great thing, friends, is that God's been filling you up with all this stuff all week. And He's given you so much, some of it's got to boil over. I mean, if the Holy Spirit's working in you, you know what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit? That He will pour out from your innermost being like rivers of living water. And He's the Spirit of truth. So when He pours out with truth. Yes? And with life. and with power. So all this truth is going to pour out of you wherever you go. Yes? Anybody who dares to come near you for counsel, mind you, when they know you've been to Rothy Place, they might not want to come near you for counsel. No, that's negative. When they hear you've been on a course here, they'll be queuing up to come and be ministered to. Amen. They say, oh, just give me a little bit of the holy glow. Let it rub off on me. Oh, yes, I like it. Actually, Helena offered to do this. I forgot about that. You were going to do this session. Yeah, Helena's my secretary. Yes, I said I was feeling a bit tired, so she offered to do it. I'm sorry, I forgot about
that's
that.
All right, I'll do it next time.
Yeah, you do it next time. Praise the Lord. Isn't he good?
Yes.
Well, I think we probably had enough teaching for 1 week. Mm-hmm. So it's just as well that tomorrow starts a new week. Praise God. Let's put our books and papers down, shall we? Because